This is VSiN Prime Time, live from the Circus Sportsbook in downtown Las Vegas on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
All right, this is Prime Time. It's Will Hill, Matt Youmans for the next 4 hours. We got Paul Skeens on the hill in Pittsburgh right now, and some baseball underway. We've got Tom Thibodeau fired in New York. What the hell are the Knicks doing? We're going to try to answer that question, and we're going to preview the Stanley Cup Final rematch from a year ago and the NBA Finals coming up on Thursday night between the Pacers and the Thunder. Will Hill, how is everything in your world?
Always good. Looking forward to doing these shows. It's been a weird feel the past couple nights with no NBA Finals and no Stanley Cup playoffs. After, you know, from mid-April on, you just get used to having these games, you know, every night, multiple games every night. It's been a quiet couple nights when you're sitting there watching just about every pitch of Rockies Marlins on a Monday night. You know, summer is here, but those games are not far away. Stanley Cup starts again on Wednesday, NBA Finals on Thursday. We got a full baseball card, so should be a good show.
Yeah, how about that crowd at the, I can't call it a crowd, the smattering of fans at the Rockies Marlins game on Monday night. Did you see the photo of the stadium in Miami? It looked like maybe 200 people in the stadium.
I did, but man, maybe it's just because I'm an odd individual, but I love going to baseball games like that. You don't have to wait in line for food, for bathroom. You just kind of move to whatever seat you want. You buy a cheap ticket and you end up with front row seats. So those are opportunities for fans.
It turned out to be the Rockies' 10th win of the season. It was actually a pretty good game in Miami. All right, let's get to what we think is going to be the best game tonight.
The lights are on and the stakes are high. It's the primetime game of the night.
New York, the Dodgers get the Yankees for a weekend series. Now the Mets for a series to open this week. And Will Hill, did you watch last night's game? I know it went late on the East Coast. You might have been in bed. But Shohei Ohtani hit a solo homer, a sac fly to force extra innings. The Mets do hold off the Dodgers 4-3 in extras last night to open that series. That's back-to-back losses for the Dodgers after they pummeled the Yankees 18-2 on Saturday.
Yeah, and that was a tough travel spot for the Mets. They didn't have a day off. Mm-hmm. They went from Citi Field late afternoon Sunday, beating up on Colorado all the way out to L.A. without the day off in between. So a tough travel spot. They were able to get the win anyway. Blackburn, fresh off the IL, pitched pretty well. I thought he was an underrated pitcher for a long time with the A's. Was not good when he went to the Mets at the trade deadline last year. Then he got hurt. He's been working his way back. We'll see what tonight brings. Speaking of injured pitchers who are trying to work their way back, Clayton Kershaw had a disaster of a first start against the Angels a few weeks ago. Been a little bit better recently. It's against Cleveland. It's against the Mets in very limited sample that Friday night. We were doing the show when it rained. I think it was a week ago, 10 days ago now. So hard to know what to expect out of Kershaw. I think he'll pitch reasonably well. McGill's numbers on the road have been shaky. It's a pretty cheap price for the Dodgers here as they avoid a three-game losing streak. That's probably the way I would go is with the Dodgers. I haven't bet it yet. Could you nudge me in one way or another? What are you thinking for this game?
No, I can't because I was trying to come up with some baseball best bets for the VSiN by the Books show in the morning with Jensen Lewis and Super Dave Ross. And I was looking hard at this Mets-Dodgers game trying to come up with something. But I can't lay the 138-140 range price here with the Dodgers because Clayton Kershaw has not been sharp at all. He's made three starts, pitched a total of 11 innings, and a whip of 1.55 and ERA near five. You don't know what you're going to get from Kershaw. Probably not any more than four or five innings tonight, I would guess. I mean, five innings tops is what Kershaw is probably going to pitch. Dodgers bullpen has not impressed me recently. On the flip side, you got Tyler McGill starting for the Mets. He's made 11 starts, Will. One of those was a quality start. McGill does lead the Mets with 72 strikeouts in 53 innings. He's been a good strikeout pitcher at 12.1 per nine, but again, a whip of 1.36. I mean, your inclination is to say the Dodgers have dropped two in a row. Mookie Betts is back in the lineup tonight, and this is probably the Dodgers' night. But do you want to lay 138, 140 in that range, guessing? If guessing on Kershaw and the Dodgers tonight, that's not a good way to bet baseball.
Not a good way to bet baseball. I have passed the game so far, and I'm kind of with you. To me, it's a stay away. Maybe you look towards an over nine just because, like you said, Kershaw's been shaky. McGill is not exactly, you know, prime Pedro Martinez. You got two really good offenses. Looks like Soto's starting to heat up. The power bat has gotten going, at least against the Rockies over the weekend. If you made me bet side total anything, it would be over nine the more we talk about it here.
Every game in the Yankees-Dodgers series went over the total. And last night's game stayed under. Actually, it threatened to go over in extra innings, but it did stay under with the Mets winning that game 4-3. Francisco Lindor is heated up. He had a homer last night. Still waiting for Juan Soto to heat up. And I know Mets fans are anxious about that. Right now, doesn't it feel like, Will, the Dodgers are kind of treading water, waiting for a bunch of these pitchers to get healthy?
It does, but I don't know, man. They might be hopefully they're not holding their breath. They might be waiting a long time here because Glasnow, mm-hmm. Snell, Sasaki. It doesn't sound like these guys are coming back, you know, tomorrow or in a week. Glasnow, I don't know if you saw this report. General body soreness. His body hasn't reacted well to the off time. This guy missed a ton of time last year. He always misses a ton of time. We don't really have any clarity on when Otani's going to pitch again. You could have this super team on paper, but if you're going to lose four or five starters, and the same thing happened to them last year, and they have 15 starters on IL right now, or 15 pitchers on IL right now. I mean, you can only have so many pitchers. I don't care how much depth you have, and their offense can make up for it. They got a bunch of hard throwers in the bullpen. I'm sure they'll add guys here in the next, you know, 6 weeks, 2 months before the trade deadline. But treading water is probably the right term. I don't know that. You know, you can win on a high level with this lack of starting pitching, with this much inconsistency. The Landon Knacks of the world, you know, Gonsolin's okay. Kershaw on his last legs in the big leagues. I mean, they're just trying to piece it together where you're just trying to get five innings, two runs, turn it over to the bullpen and win with your offense. You can win. They won it. They won that way last year. But in order to like being a dominant team, it's hard to win up to their expectations with this lack of pitching and all these injuries. And I don't know when these guys are coming back.
Yeah, I think the Dodgers are probably targeting, hey, let's try to start playing our best baseball maybe in August, right? Just do what we can, hold it together. Late July, August, September, we start becoming the Dodgers team that we thought we were going to be on paper. Right now, Yoshinobu Yamamoto is your ace. Dustin May is your number two. And you're hoping to get something out of Kershaw and Tony Gonsolin and guys like that. Landon Knack could take them out. But, hey, another bullpen piece that we thought was a big addition for the Dodgers, Tanner Scott, has stunk. And he again, got knocked around last night. Tanner Scott right now has got an ERA of 4.73. So, and Mookie Betts stumbling in the dark in his home going to the bathroom last week, stubs his toe, fractures a toe, and misses the weekend series against the Yankees. Missed last night's game, is supposedly going to be back in the lineup tonight. But a lot of things going on with the Dodgers beat up here early in the season. Dodgers right now 36-24. Only one up on the Padres and three up on the Giants. 7.5 up on the D-backs. And suddenly some of these teams, all four of these teams atop the NL West, Dodgers, Padres, Giants, and D-backs, not playing great baseball. Dodgers do have the potential. And you mentioned Ohtani. I did read that Ohtani may be 2 to 3 weeks away from coming back as a starting pitcher. He's pitching the minor leaguers, doing simulated games. He's throwing a lot more. So I think we're going to see Ohtani, the pitcher, return maybe late June, early July. It looks like that could be the case there tonight. Mets go into tonight's game at 38-22, and they're actually 1.5 up on the Phillies and big leads over the Nationals and the Braves in the NL East. Will Hill, we're going to have Adam Burke on here in about 8 minutes. Burke's always got a bunch of baseball bets. He might have some underway. I did consider betting the Pirates game tonight with Paul Skenes starting against Lance McCullers. I heard Mitch Moss had a play on McCullers over strikeouts in a prop, which was interesting because I looked deep into this pitching matchup last night too. Skenes took the money overnight, closed Pirates minus 160. And that number was at one point last night, 141. So there is some sharp money on Paul Skenes and the Pirates. What are you on tonight?
I'm sweating out under 2.5 here, Houston, Pittsburgh. I laid some juice, minus 166. I love these first three unders. I did do the same thing. Yankees, Guardians, first three under 2.5. I like Rodon. He's pitched actually really well, surprisingly well. It was interesting the Yankees didn't pitch him against the Dodgers. I don't know if they were trying to build up his confidence, keep his confidence, but that was his turn to go That was an interesting maneuver there. But Bybee's been up and down. We'll get Adam Burke's thoughts on him because he's got talent. He's seen the flashes. He's been uneven, you know, I think is a good word for Bybee. But I did play the under 2.5 there. And I'm sweating out the Rockies plus a half a run in the first five innings. I just couldn't justify. Sandy Alcantara has basically been one of the worst pitchers in baseball. Him is a $1.90 favorite. I'll take the half a run at plus money in the first five. So those are a few of the ones I've got going. We got some decent games later. Orioles and Mariners with George Kirby looking to get back on track. He's been really bad. He will be taking on the Orioles. So full baseball card here should be a lot of fun to talk about.
Actually, about to start in Cincinnati, the hottest team in baseball, the Milwaukee Brewers.
Yeah.
Not Harvey's Wallbangers, but the Brewers with Peralta on the mound tonight against Green. And the Reds are favored. Cincinnati minus 130 with the Brewers on an 8-game win streak. And that game about to start right now in Cincinnati. Our game of the night. Mets, Dodgers, McGill, Kershaw, and Dodgers minus 138, total of 9, shaded over 120. That starts exactly 3 hours from now at Chavez Ravine, where I spent Sunday night watching the Yankees beat the Dodgers and avoid the sweep with that 7-3 win. Will Hill and I will talk a little bit more about the Yankees coming up here. Carlos Rodon on the mound. Right now, that game is underway in the Bronx. Yankees minus 215 against the Guardians. Adam Burke is on deck. I can see him on camera. He's waiting, and we're going to throw it to him next. So stay tuned here on VSIM Primetime. We got Adam Burke, Jeff Sherman, Lou Finicaro, and Ian Cameron on tonight's show. Back here in a couple minutes on Primetime, the Sports Betting Network.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
All right, welcome back. Mr. Baseball joins us now on the Progressive Guest Line. Adam Burke, VSiN.com editor. Adam, I know you've got games underway right now in MLB. I wanted to ask you about the hottest team in baseball right off the bat, the Milwaukee Brewers. Underdogs today at Cincinnati. Did you consider taking the Brewers at a plus price? Winners of 8 in a row.
Yeah, I did consider taking them. I mean, this is a team that, you know, I kind of expected them to get going at some point. They have just way too much talent not to. I mean, their lineup is not a murderer's row by any means, but they have a lot of contact-oriented guys. They have some guys that hit for power. They've been a very, very good defensive team over the last several years. Find dudes that can get outs, whether it's in the starting rotation or in the bullpen. I unfortunately wasn't able to jump on this hot streak that they're on. Like I said, I thought one was coming. You just didn't really know exactly when it was going to. I did think about taking them today against Hunter Green. And in fact, I was texting with Jensen Lewis this morning because things going on with Hunter Green's mechanics since he came back from the injured list. His arm angle is really, really high. And I'm not entirely sure why, but he's really in his two starts since returning from the injured list. And then, of course, today gives up a first inning run here. We'll see how the rest of his start goes. But I think there's still something going on which you watch very closely in Reds games going forward.
All right, we're going to try to fix this connection that's going in and out here. We do have thunderstorms all over Las Vegas today, which is very strange. I've lived here for 24 and a half years. It never used to rain in May and June. And the last couple of days, we've had thunderstorms rolling through here. And that might have something to do with Adam's connection. So we're going to try to strengthen that up. Will, we got the Yankees game underway. We're going to continue the baseball betting discussion with Adam Burke here in a second. Yankees game's underway. Bybee and Rodon. Yankees went off minus 215, total of 8. Did you say you had a play on the game in the Bronx?
Under 2.5 in the first three, and I played under 4.5 in the first five. It looks like we got first and third one out, so I'm in some early trouble. As now second and third is Cleveland steals second. Ramirez a little blue pit to go from first to third or to get the runner from first to third. So Cleveland threatening early. I got to sweat out my under here.
It looks like the Guardians have just a run. Guardians have runners on what, second and third with no outs or one out.
I think I see an out.
We do have one
and
out.
And watching the replay, Ramirez stole second. He might have been out. I'm watching here, you know, doing the show. I don't know if we're getting a review here, but it was pretty close at second. We'll see if buddy Aaron Boone pulls the trigger on a review.
We got Adam Burke back with us again, vsin.com editor. And Adam, welcome back to the show. We got your connection restored. And we were talking about the Brewers and Reds. Right now, Milwaukee up 1-0. Winners of 8 in a row. Brewers up early in the game in Cincinnati. What other early plays? But you put your best bets up every day on vsin.com. We'll talk about a couple of these specific plays you've got for tonight. Anything else that's underway that you played today? I did want to ask you about the Angels-Red Sox, too. Brian Bayo starting. He took a little bit of money from the overnight here at Circa. Red Sox closed minus 156. And last night, the Red Sox were minus 140. So a little sharp money here at Circa on Boston after the Angels. And Mike Trout, how about that comeback by Trout last night? Won the opener of the series at Fenway Park.
Yeah, so one of the bets I have going right now actually is the Nationals' first five team total over 2.5 against Cade Horton. Mm-hmm. And it has nothing really to do with how Cade Horton has pitched. It just has to do with who he's pitched against. You know, he's made four appearances in his MLB career so far. One of them was a relief outing against the Mets, gave up four runs in that one. And then his three starts have been against the White Sox, the Rockies, and the Marlins. So, you know, three of the worst teams in Major League Baseball. Nationals borderline top 10 offense here over the last couple of weeks. So I took the Nationals first five team total over 2.5. They got one run so far. Hopefully they can kind of keep it going a little bit. You know, I'm actually really surprised that Brian Bayo took money here because, you know, a lot of times when we see a two run difference between ERA and expected ERA, you tend to see the market go against those guys. There's the expectation of negative regression in the profile, the thought that maybe his upcoming starts, you know, won't be all that good. He'll kind of pitch more towards what we presume to be his true talent level for this season. And Bayo's a guy over eight starts, 383 ERA, 599 expected ERA. So more than a two run difference. And then his FIP is also over five. So I would not have expected money to come in on him, but I think a lot of it has to do with fading Yusei Kikuchi. A lot of walks for him here lately. Walks are very, very detrimental when you're pitching at Fenway Park because it's such a good park for offense. So maybe it was more of that. Maybe it was just people kind of coming in against Kikuchi. But Bayo's a guy I would watch going forward because the strikeout to walk ratio is really bad and he's having problems with his command right now. So maybe you like to play overs in Bayo starts going forward.
Actually, I was looking at that last night, all those numbers you talked about, and that certainly kept me off the Red Sox laying that price tonight. Will?
Adam, let me get your thoughts on three teams here. I'll put them all in the same bucket. Three disappointing teams, the Braves, the Rangers, and the Red Sox. And I give you full credit. You came on here before the season when everyone or a lot of people were high on the Red Sox. And you said, you know, not so fast. They've got some holes here. Which of the three you think get out of it? And kind of project forward these three teams and who can make a run out of the three, if any?
Yeah, I mean, I certainly think the answer's got to be the Braves. You know, I mean, Grant Holmes is really figuring it out here. Spencer Schwellenbach's been good. Unfortunately, Bryce Elder back in the rotation now with the injury to A.J. Smith-Shawver. But, you know, this is a Braves team that's extremely talented. They've got Ronald Acuna Jr. back now. They're good in every facet of the game. They're good defensively. They're a good offensive team, even though we haven't fully seen it here so far. And they're a really, really good pitching staff, top to bottom. And Alex Anthopoulos in the front office here, they've been aggressive in going out there and getting who they need to get, filling the holes that they think they have as they head into the trade deadline. So this is a team that typically plays a lot better once it warms up, once we get into the summer. Maybe it has something to do with how many fly balls they hit, their high pull percentage. As you get a little bit warmer in Atlanta, the ball is going to carry really, really well at Truist Park. I still think they're the team that can make a pretty significant push here. Boston, they don't have enough arms. You know, I don't think they have enough depth in that rotation. But I do think the Braves are a team that we really need to watch here as the summer goes along.
A playoff rematch tonight, Dodgers, Mets, who knows, maybe a playoff preview for this October. Maybe they'll meet again. Dodgers, modest favorites. Kershaw hasn't been great here in a limited body of work. McGill's been okay. What are you looking for in this game with a total of 9 of the Dodgers small favorites?
Yeah, a tricky handicap here because, you know, I mean, Clayton Kershaw is a guy that, you know, he's very hard to bet on right now. I mean, three starts covering 11 innings, did pitch well against Cleveland last time out, but the Guardians don't hit those types of guys. They don't hit lefties that kind of throw, you know, below your league average velocity, guys that have a lot of pitch ability to them. But again, Kershaw is a guy with 6 strikeouts and 6 walks in his 11 innings. Tyler McGill is a guy that can really run up his pitch count in a hurry because he misses a ton of bats, but he also has problems with walks. This is one where, you know, I mean, I kind of thought of taking a little bit of a look at the over in this game, but 9's a pretty hefty total here, especially with a little bit of juice on that over side of things. So not a game that I played, but it is one that I'm paying very, very close attention to, because McGill's had a lot of control issues here of late. And I have to know if Kershaw is remotely trustworthy here with obviously a very good offense supporting him.
All right, let's talk about the Padres and Giants series opener last night. Padres got the win 1-0, spoiled another strong home start by Logan Webb. Padres Giants is San Francisco minus 157, total of 7.5. I believe you have you played a prop on one of the pitchers.
Yeah, I played a strikeout prop here with the San Diego starter, Ryan Burger. So he's not going to be a guy that a lot of people know. In fact, he's a guy that I really didn't know much about until his start here today. But he's a guy that's missed a lot of bats in the minor leagues, and he's done so with a pretty shallow pitch arsenal. He throws a lot of fastballs, mixes in a good slider, but he's mostly a fastball slider type of guy. When you can miss a lot of bats with a two-pitch setup, I'm impressed with the quality of your stuff, because it also means that you're not throwing bad pitches all that often. You're maximizing the good pitches that you do throw. The other thing here in this one is that the Giants are the worst offense in Major League Baseball, according to StatCast batting runs, against four-seam fastballs. They are far and away the worst team. Colorado's 29th, and they're about 9 batting runs better than San Francisco. Burgert's a guy who's going to throw his fastball probably 60% of the time here. In this one, the Giants, they struggle with fastballs. So I think this is a spot where Burgert, you know, making his first MLB start here, they'll try to get 5 or so innings out of him if they can. And I think he'll go over 3.5 strikeouts if he can get that kind of volume.
Adam Burke, managing editor, vsin.com. Follow him at Skating Tripods. Adam, 1 minute left. Hundreds of fans be going out to Comiskey on the south side tonight. Tigers 40-21, best record in baseball, 21.5 games ahead of the White Sox. You've got to play on the Tigers White Sox games. Tigers right now about $1.50 favorites, total of 8.5.
Yeah, I played the under in this game. So Sawyer Gibson Long is going to be the bulk guy for the Tigers. There was some question as to whether or not he would start today. Turns out they're going to use Bo Brisky as an opener and then go with Gibson Long, who's returning from Tommy John surgery. 4 great starts in September 2023. Got hurt early in last season. But he's a guy that's got really good stuff, elite extension. So his fastball kind of sneaks up on you because he's so close to home plate when he releases it. And then for the White Sox, Shane Smith's been really good. Misses a lot of bats. Tigers have been striking out a lot lately. Below average offense. Like the under 8.5 here at Guaranteed Rate Field on the south side.
All right, Adam, best of luck on your best bet tonight. Always appreciate the time. Thanks.
Have a good one, guys.
That's Adam Burke of vsin.com. Will Hill and I come back to talk Tibbs, Knicks, and NBA Finals next.
This is VSIN Primetime on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
All right, Jeff Sherman of the Westgate Superbook will join us in about a half hour to preview the NBA Finals. Pacers, Thunder, tips off Thursday night in OKC. Lou Finocchiaro is going to join us in the third hour tonight to preview the Stanley Cup Final rematch between the Edmonton Oilers and Florida Panthers. So Jeff Sherman and Uncle Lou coming up. Final hour tonight is Ian Cameron, the Canadian kid. Will Hill, do you know what season kicks off on Thursday night?
I am very excited for the Rough Riders, Calgary, the Saskatchewan. Give me the Blue Bombers. I love the CFL. I love betting on football. Not only is it fun to watch, it's an underrated sport to bet. I think it's beatable, and it's a sign that, you know what, the real thing, the NFL, college football, are not that far behind. So I do really enjoy the CFL.
I do, too. There's no better handicapper to talk to it about than Ian Cameron, final hour tonight. You can have your WNBA for all those guys to say they beat them, but you can have it. Take your W. I'll take the CFL. I'll write in the CFL with Ian Cameron, and I have very little interest in the WNBA. But the CFL, like you said, you can beat it. And Ian Cameron's done that for years. He's with us in the final hour, 7:15 p.m. Pacific. I'm not going to say this was a stunner today because there were some rumblings about it happening. And this is a reason the Knicks have been losers for years and years, decades. Reasons they haven't won a championship in 50 years. Shams Charania reported this. There were reports out there actually about this last night, so I'm not going to give him credit saying he was the first. But the Knicks are Knicks have relieved Tom Thibodeau of his duties as head coach. He was fired. Thibodeau led the Knicks to their first Eastern Conference Finals in 25 years, made the playoffs in 4 or 5 years, and led the Knicks to consecutive 50-plus win seasons for the first time since the 1990s. Thibodeau was given a contract extension last year through 27-28. So that would have that extension was going to kick in this upcoming season, a 3-year, $30 million guaranteed extension. This is puzzling for that reason. Leon Rose, the GM, Jim Dolan, the owner, obviously a couple of clueless clowns, and they have been for a long time. I think, Will, I'm going to give you your take first on why you think the Knicks cut the cord with Tom Thibodeau.
You know, somebody made the point, I forget who it was, I'd like to give him credit, it's not a bad one, that there's a little bit of Buck Showalter with Tom Thibodeau, where he'll make you respectable, he'll get you to the playoffs, there's some shortcomings that won't get you all the way. I think that's a decent comparison. That being said, boy, this is pretty harsh, isn't it? I mean, if you would have told a Knicks fan 2 months ago, hey, you're going to lose in game 6 of the conference finals, I mean, that's far exceeds expectations. I get you lost in the conference finals and you lost the court where you had – or you lost a series where you had home court. So in a lot of ways, you overachieved, but you also underachieved. You would have liked to win that series, and game one is going to haunt them for a while, even though they're drawing dead, I think, against OKC. To me, again, the word is harsh. I think this is – look, is he a great coach? No. Is Michael Malone maybe the savior here and maybe a slight upgrade, and you think we're just a little bit away from making a final? I don't buy this idea, and the Knicks fans are trying to convince themselves we're so close to being a champion. Nonsense. It's a water down East. There was some flukiness with the Boston series. Porzingis wasn't 100%. Tatum got hurt. All right, you were up 3-1 when Tatum got hurt. I buy that. But, you know, a lot of 20-point comebacks. Bottom line, Thibodeau did a pretty good job here. This team was a laughingstock before he got there. Not that it's the whole reason, or he's the whole reason that they've improved here. I just think this is a little bit unfair. Okay, if you hire Malone and you get a slight upgrade, okay, I guess I get it. But man, isn't this a little bit much? I mean, this is not, you know, some great team. This is not the 96 Bulls or, you know, the 85 Lakers. I mean, this is a good team, but not a great team. Towns and Brunson are shaky defensively. They don't have a lot of three-point shooting. I thought he got most of what he could out of the team. Okay, you'd like to use the bench more. You can nitpick, and a lot of that's fair. But, man, I was surprised by this. I think this, again, I'll use the word again, it was harsh. I don't think it was really fair to Thibodeau. What's your take? You agree with most of that?
Yeah, of course. I mean, you can nitpick on any coach. You know, I think Bill Belichick had some shortcomings. Nick Saban had a couple. You know, when I covered the Bulls in the late 90s, there were a couple things that disagreed with Phil Jackson's strategical moves and things like that. There's no coach is perfect. Let's go back to Alabama-Auburn in the Iron Bowl and the kick six. Right. You know, Bill Belichick made a bunch of mistakes, especially at the end of his tenure in New England. You can't expect any coach to be perfect. We're all going to pick at their flaws. But Tom Thibodeau, yeah, he didn't trust his bench. He didn't develop reserves enough. He played his starters too many minutes, blah, blah, blah. I don't think he's progressive enough maybe to get the Knicks over the top. But we knew all this about Tom Thibodeau a long time ago. So as Leon Rose and Jim Dolan did too. So if you know all that about Thibodeau last year, why'd you give him a 3-year, $30 million extension? And then he goes to the Eastern Conference Finals, takes you to the conference finals for the first time in 25 years. You say, you're fired. Does that make any sense at all that you give him the extension and then fire him when he takes you deeper than you've gone in the playoffs in 25 years?
Makes no sense to me. And they were the 3 seed. It's not like this was a 6 or a 7 seed and they got hot and they said, you know what? It was a fluky run. We're going to fire him. This is the New York Knicks. They're the 3 seed. They were 2 wins away from the finals. You know what? Tough loss to Indy. You know, we'll try to shore up the roster, make a move here and there. We'll get them next year to bring in a new coach. Again, I get it. Michael Malone won a championship and a lot of the basketball people may tell you maybe he's an upgrade and that might be the case, but boy, this is overly harsh. This really is. This is, I don't know who's pulling the strings there. You brought up, you know, the ownership. Is this coming from the president, Rose? Is this coming from ownership? I just don't know. I mean, Halliburton, that was look, we can call it a Knicks collapse, which it was. A lot of that was just the Pacers got hot from three, a fluky bounce from Halliburton. You couldn't really wrestle home court back after you lost game 2, and you lost in 6. It happens. I'm surprised by this. I really am. Unless you've got your guy circled, I know that the Suns are sniffing around – I think it's Bryant, one of their assistants, and they didn't want to lose him. Maybe they wanted to keep him, unless you got Malone circled. Very, very strange. I know Knicks fans don't love Thibodeau, but the Knicks fan wants to tell himself, hey, I got a title team, and it's the coach's fault. Fans do that with their teams a lot. They want to blame the coach, blame the manager. This is not a title team. I don't care if you dig up Rhett Auerbach and have him coach the team,
right?
Weekend at Bernie style. Nobody's winning a championship with this team. It's a flawed roster. It's a good team. It's just not a great team. In the NBA, you can go from decent to good. You can go from bad to decent. It's very difficult to go from good to great. You need usually a top three, top five player. You need to be top 10 in offense and defense. This is just not a title team.
Well, how about this too? So Leon Rose obviously believes that the roster he put together is better than what Thibodeau did with it, right? He thinks Tibbs probably underachieved, and he put together a better team than what Tibbs didn't coach him up enough. But when your top two players, Jalen Brunson, who I like a lot, and Karl Anthony Towns, are not great defenders, that's not a formula for winning a championship, Will. Your best players have to be good defenders, and the Knicks don't have that. And that's a shortcoming, I think, that falls on the GM, not the coach necessarily, right?
Exactly, especially when you have two liabilities on defense that are point guard and center, because you can get them in pick and roll. I mean, those are the two point of attack. Same thing we talk about in baseball, where you want to be strong up the middle defensively, catcher, shortstop, center field. When your point guard and your center can be exposed, eventually in the playoffs, you're going to run into some teams that can expose them. And people always say, you know, your strengths get you into the playoffs. Your weaknesses get them eliminated. Their weaknesses got them eliminated here. I think this, again, used it for the third or fourth time. Harsh is, I think, the right word here. This is really, really harsh. Nobody's winning the title with this team. Phil Jackson, Spoelstra, I don't care what coach you have. Nobody was winning a title with this team. All right, a move here or there, maybe you could have gotten to a finals. But to me, this is a little bit unfair.
Yeah, we're going to talk about some of the names being tossed around. You know you're going to hear Jay Wright, right? Because of the Villanova connection with the Knicks. You're going to hear Jay Wright. You're going to hear Danny Hurley again after that.
Yeah, I don't buy it.
After that phony courtship with the Lakers a year ago. You're going to hear Hurley. You're going to hear Jay Wright. You're going to hear Michael Malone, obviously. I think one of the names that makes the most sense is Michael Malone. We'll talk about who could be the next coach later. Final 2 minutes here. Quick look at the NBA Finals. We are 2 days away from Game 1 in OKC. And at DraftKings OKC, minus 700 in the series. Pacers plus 500. This is how I decided to bet the series, Will. I know so many respected bettors who think this is going five. It's not going past five. OKC is going to win this in a shorter series. I think the Pacers can push it to six. You're taking a minus 700 favorite in the series, minus 700, and saying OKC in six at plus 450. So that's why I took OKC in six at plus 450 with a smaller bet on OKC in seven at 5-1 odds. That's my gamble here, is that the Pacers can push it past five.
I played under 5.5 games, and I played OKC in four at plus 330. I just think this is a bad matchup. I think Indiana is trying to fight fire with fire, trying to push the tempo. And we'll have plenty of time to talk about this. My guess is their strategy is going to play zone, try to keep them off the free throw line, make them shoot from three, and hope they miss. Denver did it. It worked. They had some bad shooting games. I just think it gets dicey when you're the lesser talented team and you're trying to push the tempo. I think OKC gets the first two at home, and then you kind of figure out what to do with that ticket.
Yeah, you're going to be nervous. You're definitely going to be nervous with those Pacers bets if OKC wins the first two at home. But I'll talk about a couple edges in the series I believe the Pacers have later in the show. We got plenty of time to hit on that. Right now, the NBA Finals Stanley Cup almost here. ProfitX is offering the best odds all playoffs long. ProfitX is a peer-to-peer sports exchange available in 40-plus states. The first of its kind in the U.S., you will be able to make your sports picks against other groups of fans rather than against sportsbooks. Exchanges guarantee you the best odds on average by 10 to 20%. Even request your own odds. Download ProfitX today with code VSEN. Earn up to $200 in profit cash over your first month.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the sports betting network.
All right, Sandy Alcantara going for the Miami Marlins tonight. A big favorite. He closed here minus 168, and the Marlins trying to hold off the Red Hot Rockies. Will Hill, let's update what's going on in the world of MLB right now. And the Marlins up 2-0 on the Rockies, who are trying to win two in a row.
Yeah, we got a lead here. Like you said, Alcantara finally pitching well. He's been about as bad as anyone in baseball here. He's been really, really shaky this year. He's just gotten hit hard. I know this is a guy they want to trade and get something for. He's going to have to pitch a lot better here if they're going to get anything for him. Yankees in Cleveland, scoreless top of the third. Rodon has pitched well. Bybee's racked up some strikeouts, so Rodon was in early trouble. Second and third, one out, pitched out of it with a couple strikeouts. So Rodon has pitched really well. I still don't quite trust him. I wonder how you as a Yankee fan feel. I feel like he's fickle, like he could blow up at any time, but the numbers have been pretty good here for the Yankee left-hander. Angels in Boston still scoreless. Philly up a touchdown here, 7-0. The extra point is good early in that game. That's in the second inning. Philly busting out after a bad series against Milwaukee. The Cubs in Washington, 3-3. And then Skeens and the Pirates are tied with Houston, 0-0. Looks like we're going to the top of the fourth or top of the fifth. The inning just changed here. But, boy, Skeens on Pittsburgh is starting to feel a little bit like Mike Trout on the Angels, just wasting away. Bad team, locked up forever. Don't think they'll trade him. They don't want to spend anything around him. That's just a waste because he's so good. He's so fun to watch. But that team is just horrendous around Paul Skeens.
Skeens has got, he's got some time left. Trout's been with the Angels, what, 12 years, something like that? This is only Skeens' second year with the Pirates. But, yeah, it's got to be frustrating for him. I'm going to go back to what you said about Sandy Alcantara. All right, so once promising pitcher, he might get it back at some point, but he seems lost right now. Evan Abrams of the Action Network was on the show with us last night, and he's a trends guy. He's always got a lot of great info and trends. We were talking NBA Finals with Evan Abrams. He dug up this on Sandy Alcantara today. Alcantara has an ERA of 8.47 this season going into the start. He's a 175 favorite today against the Rockies. That's the largest price as a favorite for any starting pitcher with an ERA of 8+, minimum 40 innings pitched over the last 20 years. Again, he's got an ERA over 8. He's a huge favorite. And that's the largest price for a favorite like that with an ERA over 8 in the last 20 years. But he's got the lead right now. So if you bet that trend saying, okay, there's no way Alcantara should be that big of a favorite, well, you could also say there's no way I'm going to bet the Rockies. Even though they won yesterday, tough to catch lightning in a bottle 2 days in a row. Marlins up 2-0, top of the fifth. I wonder how many fans are in attendance tonight in Miami. Like you said, Cubs and Nationals tied at 3. I was going to ask you, when you look at the standings and you see the Cubs on top of the NL Central at 37-22, and they've had to deal with some injuries too, right? Almost every team in baseball can use some sort of injury crutch if you're looking for excuses. Sure. Cubs are 15 games over. They don't have their full starting pitching rotation they expected to have at the start of the season. Are you a believer in the Cubs? They're plus 97 in run differential, and they've got all the offensive numbers to indicate they're for real.
I do think they're for real. Now, again, I think they'll win the division. You talk about a winning the World Series, getting to a World Series. You know, we've talked about this late May, early June, to sit here and try to predict these very short series. What's going to happen in October is almost impossible, if not very difficult. It's impossible. But they'll be in the mix, them, the Dodgers, the Mets, the Phillies. I don't put them at the top of that list, at the top of that bunch, but I put them in that bunch. You think that's a fair way to characterize them? Where they're in that group, but they're not maybe at the top of the group?
I do. Actually, you were talking about how you feel like the American League is watered down a little bit this year, and that's why you're so optimistic about the Yankees. The National League, I think, is stacked with pretty good teams. I'm not sure about elite teams. You would put the Dodgers in that elite category when they're fully healthy. But how many teams would you put in that in that category where you say they can make a run in the playoffs, maybe get to a World Series? How many teams do you think can do that out of the National League?
Mets, Phillies, Cubs, Dodgers. That's 4. Then you start to get into Dubai and Atlanta making a run. If Atlanta, now that's another thing happening tonight. Strider's getting bombed again. He's given up 4 runs already. Mm-hmm. He's not been the same guy as a couple years ago. So Atlanta is a question mark. I think on the right day they could, but they've got some work to do. I mean, look, they're 4 games under. I know it's still early. There's a lot of time left. It's not July. It's not August, but it's also not April. So they got to get going here. They got a lot of teams to catch. So those 4, the Padres on their right day could be shaking. I don't buy the Giants. So I guess I would say those 4 with Padres, Braves on the fringe. And I I don't know. The other one that's a question now, do you throw Milwaukee in there? They've played well. They've got some pitching. They seem to always overachieve. They never do anything when they get to the playoffs.
Right, right.
But those four, I think, are solid. And then we can have a debate about the next, you know, three or four.
All right. I was going to ask you that for World Series futures purposes, but now you're throwing a bunch of teams in there as possibilities. Four that you really liked, and then what, about four or five more you feel like could develop into contenders. How about the American League? Because I know you don't feel you don't have a sense of conviction of about for about what maybe two or three teams, and that's about it, right? In the American League.
Yeah, and looking at these odds in front of me, I mean, look, Yankees. There's reasons to like them. There's reasons to like their path. Luke Weaver going down, I think, is a concern. He's going to miss looks like a couple months now. But you know, plus 235 is just not enough for me. Tigers at plus 340 is interesting, but again, you're talking about is there really value in there? Bang for your buck? I'm not sure. I think you got to decide, can Texas or Boston make a run? Both of them at 22-1 if these odds in front of me are accurate. Texas has the talent. I know Eovaldi just got hurt, and it seems like it's a game of whack-a-mole. As soon as somebody gets hurt, somebody else comes back, and vice versa. Seager can't stay healthy. But if you can get Eovaldi and DeGrom at the top of rotation, with Seager healthy, with some of their other bats, the AL West is winnable. Texas at 22-1. If you just gave me, hey, here's a couple hundred bucks, bet it on anybody, here's a free roll or whatever, the best value, I think I'd probably go Texas just because I do think there's some upside on them.
Yeah, the way you phrased it last week, it felt like Yankees, Tigers, and maybe one more team, and that's about it. You felt like the American League was about three teams deep in terms of contenders, teams that could win the league, right?
Yeah, I mean, again, though, once you get in, you're talking about a best two out of three, a best three out of five. Crazy things happen. It was only a couple years ago we saw Texas and Arizona where, you know what, you get in, you get hot, you swing the bats well for a couple of days, you get some good bullpen performances, decent starting pitching, and the next thing you know, you're in a World Series. They've really, with this new playoff format, with these extra teams, it's not as important as how good you are. It's just get in and figure out a way to get hot for a couple of weeks. But I think there is a clear line after Yankees, Tigers. I don't even think I'd include the Mariners in there. I think it's Yankees and Tigers. You'd have power rated against everybody else. I never buy these AL Central teams, Minnesota, Kansas City, Cleveland. They never seem to do anything in the playoffs. So to me, I cut it probably Yankees and Tigers and everybody else.
Yeah, we'll have this discussion again in a couple months and see what changes, right? It's very difficult, I think, in baseball to rule so many teams out this early because so many things can happen. A lot of things can change over the summer, and this picture could look a lot different by the time we get to late July, August, September, but that's the way it looks right now. Seattle on top of the American League West by six games, but there are teams out there you don't really want to count out. You don't love those teams right now, Mariners, Astros, Rangers, but you can't count those teams out this early. And right now the Tigers with the best record in baseball, 40-21. VSiN fans, check this out. How would you like to play the Circa Survivor or Circa Million contest for free this season? Winner Circle Proxy is giving away one free $1,000 entry to each contest, plus full proxy service, and you'll be paired with a VSiN host for strategy all season if you want that. Enter now for your chance to win. Visit winnerscircleproxy.com/VSiN. winnerscircleproxy.com/VSiN. If you want to be paired with a VSiN host, Will Hill would be a great partner, right? Will, are you fired up for the football contest? How much do you think you will? Will you have joint entries? Or will you have your own entry in the Circa Millions and Survivor contest this year?
It's a pretty good question. I'll probably have joint entries for both. See if I can get out there between now and in August, but I will definitely be involved in some way. And I'm always excited. These are great contests. There's a lot of fun. And I would say this about the Survivor. It's so great because as long as you're in it, as long as you're alive, you're basically the chip leader at the table because you have as good a shot as anybody. I know the path factors into it, but it's a lot of fun to handicap and to map out these things.
You going to partner up with your buddy Steve Fezzik maybe? Are you looking for partners in the football contest? Wouldn't be a bad partner to have.
It's possible.
Yeah, that's possible.
It's possible.
Let's check in on what's happening in MLB here at the end of the hour. We're going to take a quick break and talk NBA Finals again with Jeff Sherman. The Rockies strike for two. Sandy Alcantara just gave up two runs in the top of the fifth. So Colorado, Miami tied at two. And let's see, Angels on top of the Red Sox, 3-0. Brian Bayo and the Red Sox taking money here at Circa overnight, but the Angels up 3-0, trying to take the first two games in that series. Brewers have won 8 in a row, and they have a 2-0 lead over the Reds. And you talked about the slumping Atlanta Braves, down 4-0 to the Diamondbacks in the bottom of the third in Atlanta. We talk NBA Finals with Jeff Sherman to tip off hour number 2. Stay tuned to the Sports Betting Network.